This is the symbol of masculine energy in the tantric tradition. This vajra that I have in my hand is about, I'd say, 3 or 4 inches long. It's slender in the middle. It's more rounded on the ends. And at the very end, both ends, it comes to a point. This is the vajra. The word means thunderbolt. It also means diamond. It's very commonly used in tantric ritual to represent the male aspect of the personality. I also have a bell. This represents the female aspect of the personality for reasons that you can probably see. It too is a beautiful object. It has a handle on the top that looks a little bit like the end of a vajra, and the rounded portion of the bell is very beautifully inscribed with designs that once would have been found on the top of a stupa. I've sat in monasteries in southern India and Tibetan monasteries where the ritual practice of Tantra is being done, and these two objects, the bell and the vajra, are manipulated as part of the ritual in very beautiful ways. It almost is as if the monks were dancing with their hands, representing the relationship between these two aspects of the personality, the male and the female. There are other pairs as well. Semen, blood, representing again male and female. In the mantras, the consonants are male, the vowels are female. In the cosmos, the moon is male, the sun is female. In the mind, the subject, consciousness itself, is male, the object of consciousness is female. And in tantric physiology, it's understood that there are two veins that run down the spine, that meet at the base of the spine and run up the central vein of the spine to a lotus that sits on the top of the head. The left vein is male, the right vein is female, and when the power of these two veins meet at the base of the spine, it constitutes the union of male and female, of wisdom and compassion, that makes up the mind of enlightenment. Now, these pairs, this system of pairs, was not just used in tantric ritual and art, but it was also used in the practice of tantric meditation. Now, the last question that I want to ask about tantra and would like to comment on as we introduce ourselves to this tradition is whether there was anything that distinguished the practitioners of Tantra from the ordinary practitioners of the Buddhist tradition that we are already familiar with from other traditions. Who were these people? Who practiced Tantra in this form? Now, the earliest band of tantric practitioners, the earliest bands, were known as siddhas, or perfected ones. We can call them simply saints, as is often done in writing about the tantric tradition. As you might expect, the stories of the siddhas depict them as people who have rejected the conventions of Indian society in quite a radical way. They often are described as living in cremation grounds or in some other impure and dangerous place, and participating in rituals that overthrow the norms of conventional behavior. You can get a taste of their practice from a story of a tantric siddha that I'm particularly fond of. It's a siddha by the name of Maitri Gupta, or Maitripa in the abbreviated form and by which he's often referred to in the tantric tradition. I like him, I think, because he's a student. He comes originally from one of the great monastic universities in India, but he had an experience that took him quite radically out of that monastic world. The way the story goes, traditional story of Maitri Gupta is something like this. He's a guy up there studying for his exams, let's say, in one of the great monasteries of northeastern India in Bihar or Bengal, one of the places that was known for its philosophy and for all of its scholastic activity, cramming for an exam. Great story to tell my students in class at Boston University. He's up there trying to somehow fit all of that biochemistry that he needs or all of that Indian logic that he needs into his head before the exam the next day. And in through the window flies a tantric messenger known as a dakini, a messenger figure who conveys some sort of a glimpse of enlightenment that shatters his normal perception of his place in the world. And she says to him something like this: "Hey, Maitri Gupta, what are you doing studying in this monastery, studying for those exams? Where you need to go is down to South India, where you can study with a guy named Mountain Man.